This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So can everybody see the screen? Because I'm gonna also sit down for quite a bit of the sermon because I've got a few videos. We're going to keep it quite light with a little bit of seriousness in between. And we'll have a few videos. I thought, why not, you know? So this morning, I'm talking about children. All right, God gave it to me a few weeks ago, and those of us who are parents, it's so close to our heart. All right, it changes our lives. Parents whose lives haven't been changed by your children. All right, so we're probably about 50-50 here. There's not a lot of people that don't have parents. We don't have children. So we're actually the majority, but I want to speak to the guys that don't have children because I want to speak from my heart, all right, for how children affect our lives and what we can learn from them. So please don't think of it as a parenting sort of sermon. It's what Jesus thought of children. So the focus this morning is on Jesus and what was on his mind when he told us things about children. Amen. And then I have a few videos that I just want to point out a few things. But my prayer, my whole aim this morning is for you guys to discover what Jesus meant when he talked about children. All right. I haven't discovered it. I haven't found out the crux of what Jesus meant, but I think it's different for all of us. I think it comes with experience. It comes with how we deal with children in our lives and how we see children and how we see Jesus. And I pray for each and every one of you, something comes up today when you leave this venue, then something new is in your mind about how Jesus, what he meant when he said, and he talked about children. Amen. I wanted to say something, but I forgot. So I'll just continue with my sermon. So why children? And I don't know about you guys, but it's so close to my heart. And I think it's just the Holy Spirit, you know, for all of us. When children suffer, it really touches me. It really breaks. I can't explain it in any other way. It breaks my heart, and I can feel it. I can testify to it because I deal with a lot of brokenness physically, right? So I work with cancer patients, and the worst cases, in a sense, the cancer, if it affects the children. You know, it's not the children that are worse, but it's when a cancer affects a child, it breaks my heart. And all of us can talk about it. All oncologists say it's very difficult to handle. It takes a very special person to actually handle that pain and that utter heartbreak that comes with a suffering child. I can think of one example. I remember what I wanted to say. This is a room, right? So why am I talking over the mic? Because we're recording. So they can't record if I'm not talking over the mic. All right, so you can hear. Is it on? Okay. I was a student. I was specializing in oncology in Cape Town. And there was a boy, he's about 10 years old. He had a brain tumor. All right, so he went through everything. Went through surgery and went through radiotherapy, chemo. And I met him when it was far advanced. Okay, so, and I just happened to be, my rotation was in the pediatric ward, and I had to take care of this boy during his last few weeks. And his mom was always there, and I cannot remember him complaining once. He had a massive brain tumor that caused a lot of headaches, and he was ill. You can see it. The day before he died, his mom said to me, thank you for your care. And, you know, what can he really say? You know this boy is at the end. And you just say, you know, it was my pleasure because he really touched me. But and then she turned to him. I will never forget this. She says, tell the doctor thank you. And he was in such agony, such pain, but he forgot all about himself. And he just looked me in the eye and he said, thank you. And I thought, what adult will say that on their deathbed, basically? They're in so much agony, so much pain, and I don't think of them. They just thank someone else. So that broke my heart. That I just wanted to cry all day because it really touched me. What's in this child that makes him, you know, not think of himself at that moment and just obey, first of all, obey his mom, to tell him you must thank the doctor, and then actually just having the courage. He couldn't even speak much. You know, he was in such pain, but he did it. And I think it touches a lot of people. I think it's on the heart of a lot of people because God put it in there. Put our heart, our love for children in our hearts because Jesus had it. Now, I want to show you a YouTube video. It's not a gospel video. It's a America's Got Talent video, okay? So who has not seen videos on YouTube about this? Everybody knows that show. It's like a talent show. And I like it to watch it because, first of all, it's clean. It's a family entertainment, and it's normal people. Normal people pitches up there on the stage. They've got these four judges, and they are presenting their talent, all right? It could be horrendous, and then it's a good laugh for everyone except the person, of course. Unless they take a good laugh, they can take it. Or someone comes up with amazing talent, all right? So it's really a talent show that's aired and throughout the world, and the following is great. And this, if someone wins, it can just catapult their careers. Now, this particular one I want to show you guys, not because of his talent. He obviously has talent. Happened to be a gospel artist. You know, you can see he loves the Lord. But because of the children involved in this video. So pay attention to what he says about the children in the first video. And then just look at the little scenes playing out with him and his children. And then the second video, I want you guys to pay attention to what one of the judges, Simon Cowell, how he reacts toward the fact that, you know, this guy is, you know, doing so much for his children. And I'm not sure, I don't know the guy very well, if he's this Simon Cowell, he's obviously famous, but if he's a Christian or not. But you can see in the video how it touched him. And you know, I think that is what I want to point out, how the children and children's plight and children's suffering actually touches humanity because it's in us. Okay, so we're going to play those two videos back to back. All right, good.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
Nervous.
It's okay. And what's your name, please?
My name is Michael Ketterer.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from East Tennessee, but right now I live in Orange County.
And tell me a bit about you. What do you do for a living?
I'm a pediatric mental health nurse.
Yeah. Okay. And what are you going to be doing for us? Are you a singer?
Yes, sir.
So this is kind of a different direction, you coming on a show like this, Michael. So tell me what the thought process was. What's the ambition, the dream here?
Well, my family's my reason why I'm here. My wife and my six children.
Six children.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that happens, especially because my children came out of foster care, when you're surviving, you can't dream. And that has been one of the most rewarding things, is providing them with a home and a safe environment where they're free to dream.
That's nice.
And so I'm here because I want to show them that if their dad can live out his dreams, then nothing's impossible for them.
Good for you. Okay, Michael, well, listen, we're all rooting for you.
Thank you.
The way that I love you.
honest lie. Baby, you don't know what it's like.
Mike, do you know what? When we find singers on these shows, is it about being technical or is it about being relevant? And sometimes, for me, it's just about being real and a surprise, if I'm being honest with you, because you were so nervous, I was concerned for you. But I think sometimes actions speak louder than words.
Everybody, I hope you enjoyed this video.
Big Daddy Simon's golden buzzer. Why'd you pick him?
I picked him because...
Because I told you to pick him.
Oh, yeah, right. He is an amazing... He's actually just a great human being and a great singer, and I'm thrilled. I'm so excited right now. I really, really am.
A lot of people are. Here's Michael Ketterer.
Sometimes I'm beaten, sometimes I'm broke, and sometimes this is nothing but smoke. Is there a secret? Is there a code? Can we make it better? 'Cause I'm losing hope.
ovation, Michael. Standing ovation, and I'm sure some tears in the audience. Simon? Simon, this is your golden
guy. Come back to me in a minute.
Oh, no, I'm not going to come back. I know you're emotional, and I want you to talk through it.
Oh, gosh.
Talk through it.
I feel like, Michael, look, oh, gosh.
Let it out, Simon.
As a dad, you know, I can't imagine what you've done and the fact that you're on this show and you really need this and you're a really, really special guy. And I don't know, something about you.
Simon, that is one of the most beautiful moments I have ever seen of you, that vulnerability and that beauty. And that's what a lot of people don't know about Mr. Cowell. Is that he is a big, soft papa.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mel B.
Oh, why me?
Mel, what are you writing?
I'm just trying to doodle so I don't cry too much.
Everybody's trying to...
You're just an incredible person, an incredible human being. To do what you've done, taking on board, adopting all these kids and giving them life, and then your voice sings such truth and honesty. I cried at the first word you said.
Heidi?
We just need more men like you.
Howie?
This is not a sob story, this is a happy story. People should be led and inspired by who you are and how you are. America, how are you gonna find seven? I don't know, what a night.
Okay, so Michael, you made Simon Cowell cry on national live television. What does that feel like?
I mean, I know, I think he gets it. You know, these are my babies, and I have given my entire life to this, and I couldn't have done it without my wife back there, and she's one of my greatest supports, and I don't know what else to say.
Quite special, eh? There's two, I've obviously watched this video a few times now. There's two moments that really is special to me. That first video, when he turns to his kids and he gave this big smile. And you can see that was just love, you know? That was just, you know, he's done it for them and they smile back at him. That moment was amazing. And this last one to me is you know, this guy, he's got millions of people watching him, and this is, what's the name of this actress, this model that asked him now this interview? How do you feel? You mean Simon Cowell, Tyra Banks. Someone might be overwhelmed by this, you know. The question is, you made someone else cry. And he ignored that question, and he just spoke so much truth. He said, I know, I think he gets it, you know. So at that moment, this Simon Cowell, this famous, you know, judge, I think he forgot about everything, and he just got it. He got the fact that, you know, this man's given so much for his children, and he's a father as well. So I think he realized something, and I can say it's probably at that moment the Holy Spirit's convicting all of them, you know, and showing them the reality of life, you know, and how special children are. And what you guys didn't see before is he prayed before all the time, before he performed, and you know, he always had tears in his eyes, you know, just spending that time with the Lord beforehand. And if you watch the YouTube videos, you know, his life is pediatric mental health nurse, you know, so he takes care of mentally ill children. That's his life. So to me, that speaks of the specifically just that one point about, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, you realize that there's something beyond yourself. And I think it's God telling us something about children. So let's explore that very point now. I want to read through two scriptures. I don't have much to say. I've got another two videos to show, so it's going to be nice, short, and sweet. But like I said, my prayer for you guys to get it as well. Get whatever God is on your heart towards children. All right, so my topic for the sermon today is Let the Children Come. And now I want to run through a few scriptures. And I just basically looked at all the scriptures, or most of the scriptures, when Jesus talked about children. All right, so let's go to Matthew 19, 13 to 14. You guys can follow in your Bibles or read on the screen. Matthew 19, verse 13 to 14. We're going to stay in that and those Gospels for a while. Okay, you got it, Tubbs? Right. I'm just going to read from the screen. Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the children alone. Do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Next one, Mark 10, 13 to 16. I was going to read through it so long, I'm just going to give some people a chance to get through their Bibles. Mark 10, 13 to 16. Right? And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. So you see, different gospel, same story. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." All right. Then we go through the next one. Luke 18, 15 to 17. Luke 18, 15 to 17. And they were bringing even their babies to him so that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking him. And Jesus called for them, saying, "Permit the children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." Same thing, different observations, different writers. Okay. Next one, Matthew 18. Well, this one I actually want to read with you guys in the Bible. Alright, so the first three scriptures are pretty self-explanatory what Jesus told them. It's up to us then to actually now figure out why did he say that. Like I said, I haven't figured it out, but I'm looking. So here's a little exercise I do, and you guys are welcome to do it in your quiet time. So let's look at that scripture, Matthew 18, verse 2 to 5. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to read a little bit around it. I've got this Bible that has a lot of cross-referencing. So if you guys, well, if I need an answer, I need to dig it a little bit deeper, I use cross-reference. I look at other scriptures, I look at some explanations, and pray about it, to really dig into to the Word, to find out what is it that it was actually meant here. Because a lot of times, things can be lost in translation, all right? So it was original, either Greek or Hebrew, and it was translated. But the Bibles that have a little bit more extra explanation to it, not extra gospel, just explaining the gospel and adding some insights, I found very helpful. So this is one that I wanted to look at, Matthew 18, 2 to 5. Then Jesus called the little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, let me read from the screen here. "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." All right, so what I did then, and I wanted to read a little bit. I'm just going to explain what I sometimes do in my quiet time. The word humbles comes from the word, from the Strong's Dictionary, tapinu, to make low. Used of the mountain in Luke 3 verse 5. Metaphorically, the word means to debase, humble, lower oneself. It describes a person who is devoid of arrogance and self-exaltation, a person who is willingly submitted to the will, to God and His will. And I'm continuously looking at the aspects of children. Why did Jesus tell us this? You know, what did He want us to know about children? So I know children can be naughty, but you know, and we can all the parents can testify for that. But sometimes the children just, you know, believes, you know, they just know this is the way, this is how things are. Right? For example, my two children, this is their home, right? I don't have to tell them this is them, they have to feel free. They know it. You know, they are themselves in that. They've come accustomed to it and they don't question it. And to me, that this scripture talks about that. You know, we as adults, we question a lot. We ask the questions. We are paranoid. When I look at my children, I don't see that. You know, I think God wants us to think about that. Now, some more kingdom dynamics in this New King James Version, childlikeness. Jesus confronts the tendency of humankind to associate authority with an exercise of dominance over others. The dominion of or authority in kingdom life God wants to reinstate in us is for victorious, fruitful living and for the overthrow of hellish powers, not for the gaining control of others or for serving our own interest. His call to childlike humility and servant-like heart establishes the spirit and style by which the authority of the believer is to be exercised as an agent of God's kingdom power. Right, and then another thing you want to read. What is the greatest virtue in the kingdom? Spiritual answers. For the answer to this and other probing questions about God and the power of life in his kingdom, so it actually refer you to some more studies. You can see how one scripture can really evolve. It can grow. And you can look at different scriptures, cross-referencing. Look at the little numbers next to the scripture, usually cross-referenced to another thing that Jesus said. And then your study becomes interactive and it becomes actually involved. And you actually can look at different things. You can actually have a supplementary the concordance with you and look at different words. And I know there's not a lot of, not everyone are scholars. I'm definitely not. But something like this really triggers me. Well, I want to know what Jesus meant here. Let's go to the next one. Another one I want to just do that exercise. Mark 9, 36 to 34. All right. Let's read. Taking a child, he set him before them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me does not receive me, but him who sent me." Now, that I would say my main scripture is the heart of Jesus just being reflected here, saying, you guys must take care of children, basically what he's saying. Because if you don't take care of the children, you're not taking care of me or my father. So such an important thing to know. And that's why I think our heart breaks with children suffer. Because it's Jesus' heart. It's God's heart that suffers, that breaks for that. Now, I want to read a little bit more about around that as well, because it's such important scriptures to me. All right. So here at the bottom of my Bible, it explains that verse 36 and verse 7, 36 and verse 37 a little bit more. Jesus effectively illustrates the lesson that he had just taught. To render service even to those whom the world regards as insignificant in the name of Christ and for his sake. Actually to render the service to him. Amen? That's why we're here. That's why we're here for others. And I think, you know, the commentaries are about not just children, but for the weak, for the humble, for the people that really need us. All right. Amen. So please make a note of those scriptures if you want to study this and you want to make answer the question that you have for yourself. What's on Jesus' mind here? Let's go to the slide. All right, so now just my thoughts. Next slide there, Steve. Oh, we got another one, Luke 9, 47 to 48. But Jesus, knowing that we were thinking in their heart, they were thinking in their heart, took a child and stood him by his side and said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For the one who is least among you, this is the one who is great." Okay, so similar story. I encourage you guys to go through those references and look at them. But I think the message is such a pertinent one. And let's explore that a little bit. All right, next one. Matthew 18:10. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that the angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 18:14, for it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these ones perish. Amen. So you could see that Jesus just had children on his heart, and he wanted to teach the disciples something. Now let's see what the difference, what I think, what we can learn from children. The next slide will say spot the difference. So I know the parents and those who know children, those who don't have children, can agree with me that children are quite open. You know, they're receptive. They are little antennas. You know, they learn. They that's how they're made. And they're teachable as well. We on the other side, we put up our own boundaries. You know, there's a video I watched recently that's saying that we are good at hiding and blaming. You know, when something happens, we are hiding. We protect ourselves. We put up our boundaries and to blame. Children, honest, who's been confronted with an honest child? They do it on the plague, Cindy. They do it on the plague all the time. So it humbles oneself. One child once asked me, why is your teeth so yellow? I said, I don't know, it's old teeth. So I think and the best way is just to, you know, laugh it off. But we, on the other side, we fear. We fear what people think of us, right? We fear what people might say, and we fear judgment. So we can really learn from children that, you know, no, that child didn't fear. She just, well, I think it was he just said it, you know, because he wanted to know, you know. And I can see it in my own children. I think you guys as well, the parents here, you know, once your boy's a bit bigger, you'll hear, you know. He doesn't hold back, you know, and that's amazing being a parent. It humbles you as well, you know. It makes you laugh about life a little more, and not to take yourself as too serious. I once heard a good motto that, you know, we a little bit lopsided. We take ourselves too serious and God less serious. We have to take God more serious and ourselves less serious. You know, laugh about ourselves a little bit, but focus on God. And children, run to the fun. My little girl was a birthday yesterday. Everything's fun, you know. And those of you who know, and with the children, so they like excitement, they like fun, and even small little things are fun to them. We, on the other hand, we sometimes are cautious. We sort of, you know, like same things. We put up our boundaries. And I think we can learn that from the children as well, just to have fun in the little things. You know, it doesn't have to take much to have a good time. All right, so honesty. Remember when Jesus did that? You know, he spoke his mind. He went into the Pharisees. He called them a brood of vipers, right? Who nowadays will do that to people? You have to be a bit more PC than that. But he didn't worry, right? So he's on his heart was, these guys are making my temple, degrading it and selling things, and that's not on. So he went into them and he called a spade a spade. And I think that's also what he wants us to learn from kiddies. Humility. We hear on the playground a lot about boys talking about their father. You know, so it's not, they're not bragging about them because they know they're not as big as strong as their daddy, but they brag about their daddy. And they know that they, you know, it comes from a humble heart, I would say. I would say that they believe, just like we should, our Heavenly Father is in control, not us. You know, so we can learn that from our children and hear that, hear their hearts. And their heart is actually that there's something bigger than them that they are proud of and that they can tell the world. And that's the crux of evangelism, isn't it? And joy. I've touched on that before. So much joy that, you know, that comes from me specifically coming home after a long day and seeing my children with big laughs and big smiles. You guys will make your day, isn't it? If you see that someone actually happy to see you, that's fantastic. My mother is one of those adults that got it right. You know, she's always welcoming, and she's, if we come to visit her, there's so much joy, and I can see it in my little girl as well. They share the same name. And they've got that heart of, what do you call it? Just being happy to see people, you know, very social, and it makes a big difference. And I think once again, I think we can learn so much from that, you know, to actually see people for being the treasures they are, and being happy back, happy to just to see them, basically just to see them. Okay. Next one. Here's a little example, a little video of Lydia, my little girl, just the other day. And let me speak to you about it a little bit. So she, that's typically her personality. She's in a tree and she's playing peekaboo. All right. So she, all she needed is a tree and her mom there. You know, that was it. And that made her, you know, be as she is on this video. Have a look at this.
Oh, yeah. Where are you?
Sorry, that's just because it's my child. So I think everybody will have their own videos of their own children. But it shows me that little thing, you know. So that's all she needed, you know. And of course, it was not captured. It was a video. I don't know if that meant much. If it was no camera, nothing, if she would have exactly the same expression on her face. Just that joy of playing peekaboo with the mom. All right, so like I said, my message is going to be short, you know, so my message today is going to be short and sweet, and I want to show you a video again about the same scenario, same story, from a different perspective, a different guy, but the take-home messages I want to leave with you guys today is, like children, if there's trouble in their lives, if they're lucky enough to have a father or mother that loves them, where do they go if they hurt? Back to their daddy, back to their mom. So we can learn that as well. You know, we don't have to struggle and sort out our own scrapes and hurts and pains. We can run to the Father. And this is why we're here, right? We are worshiping God Almighty. And if things go bad, let's learn from the children. Let's run to Him as soon as we can. Don't fear the future too much. I'm sure my boy and girl don't worry too much about this week coming up, the elections. They don't worry too much about finances. You know, there are a lot of things they just don't worry about. Of course, they worry about maybe schoolwork, my son, and so on. But you can see he worries a little bit and then he forgets about it, right? And when something comes up and he has something else to think or say about or do, it doesn't dwell on it. They forgive quickly. You know, they might be angry. They might be, you know, show you that they're angry with them. But then every time I ask my son, please forgive me, it's there. It's forgiven. And, you know, he moves on. Let's do that. Let's try to do that as well. Keep the joy simple, like Lydia there, you know, in that tree. We don't have to have fancy things. We don't have to go on a fancy trip to have joy, to have a good time. And look out, my children and children, you know, they notice things. They notice things around them. Like, for example, when I take Sammy to school, he's a little dreamer. So he would stand and we would be late. I would say, come, Sammy, we have to go. The bell is rung. He would see a little leaf going from the top of the tree, going down. He would just stand still and just enjoy it. Doesn't care about, you know, everyone rushing him into the classroom. That's a moment, you know, and I had to catch myself that one day and just to actually enjoy the moment with him, you know, to see how this little leaf just goes. And it took a long time, but, you know, that for him was special, you know, so I said, I have to go now. But then this leaf just sort of in the wind pick it up again and so on. So just, I think it was just God also playing a little trick on us, you know, just to teach us, you know, stand still for a second and just enjoy things for a while. Amen. All right, so that's basically it. I want to give you guys this. I shared it before, and this was a moment when my son, I really heard from the Lord, all right? He had a dream, and he woke up and he said, God spoke to him. And Jerusha, my wife, said, write it down. So you could see the way he wrote it, that he had a lot of thoughts in his mind. But I want to read it to you, and then I want to stand still that last sentence. Okay, so this is what he said. He thinks the Lord spoke to Samuel. And then he says, yes, Lord. You can see now, and he wants to explain that it's him saying, yes, Lord, you know. Quite cute, eh? Samuel wrote it, you know. Yes, Lord. I want you to tell the whole world about me and tell your class, do not say words that make me angry. And tell them, do not say unkind things, and tell them the commandments and bring peace to the world. And tell this to the whole school and world, and you may tell them this. Now, this is where I believe the crux of his message is, tell them this. And now this last sentence. This for me is just amazing. For you must break the chains of badness and keep the chain of goodness, that you and everyone must be kind and loving and gentle to others. Message from Jesus. Hey, this, who thinks about that? The chain of badness. You know, must break that chain. And we can think about chains in people's lives, right? Starting from someone with a childhood. Maybe they were absent parents, and they were abused. And it just, it's just the chains being put together, and then wound around a person's life that just entangles him, right? And this is what the message is. Just break, you have to break it and keep the chain of goodness, right? Keep goodness going. Keep telling people, you know, you're great, and blessing people and loving people. And that's another chain. It's a good chain. It's a chain that links and actually engulfs people, you know, protects them. And then they know they shouldn't fear. So this humbles me, you know, because I wouldn't think about this, you know, and God told him this. And I've got it here on electronic format, and I got it printed and everything, so I won't forget this. All right, so now I'm ending off with another video. This is a comedian, a Christian comedian. I'm not sure he's a pastor. Who knows Ken Davis? So American guy. You take his some of these things with a pinch of salt. Remember, he's a comedian first, and then he's a Christian. Okay, he's not going to swear anything, but he's going to say some things that. For example, there's not in this video, his grandchildren were in the car and they were driving through Utah or something with a lot of cows, a lot of, farms, and they hit the cow. And he didn't really care much about the cow. In California, when he told this joke about this cow, and it's a typical medium. He tells about the cow and he can still hear the cow in the background and things like that, you know. For the people who really love animals, it could be offensive, right? But for him, his three babies that were taken care of is much more important than a cow that died. Okay, so that's his point, you know. So just think of that. He's a bit, he tells it like it is. But I want you also to get the message that will state quite clear. And then we'll end off after that. Thank you.
Pours. This child smeared food all over his body. His mother would put it in. He would spit it out. It's his only way of saying, feed me, smear it on me. He had a slobber thing, industrial strength slobber thing, swinging around. Oh, you slobber, I saw you do it a minute ago, but you can get rid of it. You can wipe it away, but no. Children, it just hangs there. They can pick up pieces of toast and move it from one place to another. The sun was hitting it, throwing little rainbows around the room. I said to the mother, get some scissors, cut that thing off of there. When a child was covered with food, he turned to me, started talking to me in a language I didn't understand. He's covered with food. I whispered to him, you touch me, I'll drop kick you. Bad attitude, bad brain, bad thinking, selfish thinking, no heart. On the way home, I looked over at Diane. She was rubbing food stains from her beautiful dress. I said, honey, I do not want to have children. She looked up at me and she said, neither do I. I stopped the car, took her hands in mine, and I looked in her eyes and I said the most romantic words I think I've ever said. Sweetheart, my love is reserved for you. I will share it with no one. It's just you and me. Then we went home and celebrated. God has a sense of humor. When that baby was born, I went from a reluctant, selfish, not wanting to be bothered daddy to a head over heels under the influence with love dad, just like that, just in a heartbeat. You ever been there? That will freak you out. There were three people in the room. Three. Me, the doctor, and my wife. Then there were four people in the room. I ran from the room to call my wife and tell her. She wasn't home. The doctor came over. He said, it's a little girl. He said, would you like to hold her? I said, no. He said, why not? I began to cry like I was 2 years old. She'll break. I will break her. I had never seen anything so fragile in all my life. The doctor said, stand up, you idiot. My wife had given him my name. I stood up, and before I could protest, he put the baby into my arms. Her little hand shot out, her whole hand no bigger than my thumbnail. She wrapped four little fingers and a tiny thumb around my little finger and wrapped her soul around my heart. And I would have died for her. And I got a little glimpse at what the influence of God's love is like. Made a bad mistake. I blinked. My eyes blinked, boing, like that. When I opened my eyes again, she was no longer a little baby holding my finger. She was a young woman standing beside me, all dressed in white from the top of her toes. The whole way. If you're dressed in white from the top of your toes, you're naked. She was all dressed in white from the top of her head to the tip of her toes. It was her wedding day. She's clutching my arm. The church is filled with our friends. The organ is playing. There's a little pervert waiting for her in the front of the church. I love this because all the women are going, no. Oh, that was a bad word. No. But all the men are going, no, you got the word. Hang on to the word. We're standing back there. She squeezed my arm and she whispered in my ear, I love you, Daddy. You know what that does to a man? Destroys him. Now, she does love me, but that isn't why she said it. She said it because she's my daughter, and that means she's got my blood flowing through her veins, and that means she's not right. She is sick. She said it, I know, because I overheard her and her sister make a $100 bet that they could make me cry during this wedding. That's why she said, that's sick. All the way down the aisle, love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. Oh, I love you. That is just, she don't even care about the pervert. She just wants $100. And I decided I wasn't gonna give her a penny, not one penny. So I bit my lip all the way down. We got to the front of the church, and I thought I had made it. I did not cry, but the preacher was the most formal person I've ever met in my life. If you haven't guessed, I'm not very formal. Preacher goes, who giveth this woman to this man? And I went, my mother and I do. And that's the wrong answer. Preacher said, sit down. I sat down and I made a horrible mistake. I blinked, and when I opened my eyes, she was no longer a little baby clutching my finger, nor was she a young bride
clutching my arm at the back of the church at her beautiful wedding. But instead, she was lying in a hospital bed in Denver, Colorado, giving birth to our first grandchild. It went like that. Room 134. Or 431. Or 341. I could find it today because it's got a grease spot where I put my head against the door and prayed that God would protect this little baby that he knew about from before the earth was formed. Prayed that he would protect my daughter. And then I heard the cry of a voice that had never been heard before on the face of the earth. And I was under the influence one more time. They brought that baby out and took her to the aquarium. You know the aquarium, a little place where they got a bunch of carp and one beautiful child. And I fell head over heels in love. Do you know that little children climbed all over Jesus? You remember that story in the Bible? The disciples said, get away from him. Now, the pictures are always of neat little children sitting quietly listening. That is not the way little children are. They were all over him. They were yanking on his clothes. They were trying to get his attention. They were like normal little children are. And the disciples said, hey, you little bread snappers, get out of here. And Jesus said, you leave them alone. They're my kind of people. They speak directly from the heart. They speak the truth. And I'm living a marvelous life, not only under the influence of love of a wonderful wife and children and grandchildren, but a God who uses little ones to let me know the truth. It's my show, so I get to show you pictures. Here's three of my granddaughters right here. I call these my three fairy granddaughters. Are they not beautiful? Absolutely beautiful. They're just like fairies. They come into the room, they scream my name, Grandpa, Grandpa, and they come running to me and their feet leave the ground, and you can hear their little angel wings beating, little fairy wings just beating, and they float over and they put their arms around me and they whisper in my ear, I love you, Grandpa. They make my spirit soar. I have two demon-possessed grandsons. They come running into the room doing about 65. They do not slow down. They do not leave the ground. They just put their head down. Few things so painful than the entire world than to be greeted by your grandsons. What's the matter, Grandpa? Grandpa has fallen and he cannot get up. Preston and Bailey, my two beautiful, wonderful gifts from God. They actually clean up pretty good. Here they are. They're both intelligent little boys. The little boy on the right is so smart. The little dark-headed boy is so smart. Preston is his name. Bought him an airplane that shoots out of a gun, shoot all the way across this auditorium. And he flew it twice, and then he came to me and said, I want to fly it backwards. I said, it won't fly backwards. I want to fly it backwards. I said, it will not fly backwards. I want to fly it backwards. Okay, let me explain to you. And I showed him aerodynamics. What a teachable moment. How air goes over the wings, creates a vacuum. I've been a pilot for 30 years. It was so fun to explain to him that that's what makes an airplane fly. Now, when you turn it around, the air will not go over the wing like that.
the air won't do it, and so it cannot fly. He smiled and said, I want to fly the airplane backwards. I said, okay, this is going to be a great demonstration. I put it in backwards, managed to get it locked in there, pulled that rubber band back, gave him the little shooter, and he shot the airplane. It didn't make it 4 inches, tumbled off the end of that brand new toy, and crashed to the floor and broke into 10 or 15 pieces. And I said, see, Preston, what a perfect example that an airplane can't fly backwards. Oh, he said, I knew that. I just wanted to freak those two little guys in the cockpit out. I have another grandson. Doesn't eat a lot. You take an unruly child and a little Jack Daniels, that's what you get. Now don't write to me. Do not write me a letter. Oh, you're encouraging drinking among children. I am not. It is a joke. And anyway, you misheard me. You can't hear. I said, read him the book of Daniel. That's what you get. Little Jaden is the youngest of the granddaughters. Little Jaden. Oh, she can work it. She adored the photographer. Can you see it? Can you see her working it? I think you gave her $200-$300 just for posing. What a little sweetie. Little Jaden has a special touch with God. Little Jaden will not allow you to eat a peanut in our house unless you pray first. I caught her in the kitchen choking our German Schnauzer. Had him right on the floor. You pray, God our Father, once again, doggone, arr, arr, once again, we bow our heads to thank you. And she can't say amen, so she goes, all the men, all the men. Oh, she's powerful. All she does now is walk in the house and the dogs go. I am here tonight because I believe with all of my heart that when you live under the influence of God's love, it takes fear out of your life. It changes your life forever. But sometimes I even forget that. I just seem to forget where my source of joy, where my source of strength and security comes from. And then God uses a 3-year-old. I woke up one night when she was 3. The 3 of them were staying at our house. And I knew I was in trouble. I woke my wife, Diane, up and I said, sweetheart, I need to go to the hospital now. We wrapped those 3 little girls up, put them in the back seat of the car, put them in their little seats, and we started to the hospital. Not a word to them, they knew nothing about what was going on. From the back of the car came the voice of this little girl. I think we need to pray for Grandpa. 3. She said, I want everybody to hold hands. By the way, she gets her way.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.